It's really good to be here with you all. I was here last year, and it's great to be back, and welcome to all the newcomers. Mindfulness, as many of you know, and probably why you're here, is a great benefit to us, no matter where you are, what type of mindfulness you're practicing. There's always more to learn, and there's always some benefit, some shift in your consciousness, some positive effect that you can learn from different teachers, from different methods, from learning particular types of mindfulness, and then really trusting yourself to play with them a little bit, to explore your own relationship with your mind, to kind of learn your own map of consciousness and see how you can, see how you get caught and identified, see how you get attached and contracted into a small sense of self, and see how you can step back or open up or drop or let go or surrender or look from a new vantage point. Yeah? So in some ways, I'm going to explore a certain type of mindfulness tonight, two types which I'm calling effortless mindfulness and heart mindfulness. So the way we'll kind of explore these is by doing small glimpses many times. So this type of mindfulness is one that's built on deliberate mindfulness. I went and studied in Sri Lanka for a year and then went up to Nepal and Tibet and studied some with Tibetan Buddhists and did some yoga and Advaita Vedanta, and have worked with Sokni Rinpoche and some Tibetans and Ninja Rinpoche and Adi Ashanti and others who are interested in mindfulness as stress management, but mindfulness as emotional support, and then mindfulness for awakening. So all three, and whichever one is happening and whichever benefit you're getting, is amazing, and the tools can be utilized in the midst of your day by just choosing to find a way that works for you. So, so I'm just going to say a little about mindfulness. So, in some ways, you can be using the mindfulness word as first saying what the opposite is mindless, right? So if you're mindless, then you're just have no idea where you are. Your mind is wandering. You're, you know, clueless. You're in, you know, never mind. You're in, you know, a sense of not knowing what's going on, where you are. You're lost in your own thoughts. You're lost in space. You're kind of spaced out. You're everyone. Does anyone know that one? Mindlessness. So then, just to name a couple of types of mindfulness that we can almost, it almost like you can keep stepping back to different levels of mindfulness. So the first mindfulness could be from being mindlessly going to the refrigerator at night and grabbing the ice cream and coming back and starting to eat it, right? And then all of a sudden you become mindful. Oh, I'm eating the ice cream. Right? So there's a moment of mindfulness, right? It's that movement almost of stepping back out of identification, out of being driven, out of attachment to noticing. Then you could be mindful from a judging part, right? Even that is kind of a mindfulness. I can't believe you're doing this. Why are you doing this? You know, you are doing it. I see you're doing it. So there's a mindfulness from judgmental mind, right? Then you could step one more step up and be mindful from kind of a rational, intelligent, managing ego part and just say, okay, you're, you know, I see you've chosen, you're eating it. You could choose to stop or you could go on, but I see you're enjoying it. What do you want to do, right? So there's kind of a rational mindfulness. Then as you step back again, you get to kind of the non-judgmental witnessing, which is often the definition of mindfulness when you're doing it on the cushion, right? when you're on the cushion, your eyes are closed, you're in kind of a non-judgmental witnessing, you're just noticing thoughts about doing this, and you're noticing the tastes, and you're noticing, and you're not making a decision, you're just noticing your full experience. And from there, you could have some wisdom about it, or from there, you could have some intentional, mindful, loving kindness toward yourself. You could intentionally say, all right, well, just be loving that you went, you've eaten half the pint, and, you know, just be kind to yourself, and you can choose from this kind of observing place. Yeah? Does everyone kind of recognize those almost levels of mindfulness that you can be? And one is each one, though mindful, kind of gets subtler and subtler. And what we're going to do is actually then, it's almost like you've pulled the camera back to a bird's eye view. So you keep stepping back. And what we're going to do in effortless mindfulness is we're actually going to turn the awareness back on the awareness itself. So we're going to let the awareness not look at the context, but see if it can rest as the context. And when the awareness rests as awareness, it kind of opens up into this peace of mind, this non-conceptual awareness that then is also inherent within you, and you enter what is often called the flow state or being in the zone, right? Anyone know what that's like? Being in sports or at work or playing an instrument or other, where you're actually dropped, you're actually open and interconnected with everyone and everything. You're in this open, spacious, non-thought-based mind that could use thought, but is almost using thought without thinking about thought, isn't self-referencing, isn't in a small sense of self. You're in this spacious, embodied, interconnected field. And that's kind of the awake nature. And that is kind of the second operating system of what being mindfully awake is like. And that this type of mindfulness that we're going to play with little glimpses, is a way to shift directly into that rather than waiting for a five-day retreat until it kind of shows up. The possibility is that by looking with awareness, awareness can know itself and then know itself as formless and then know itself as form and then know itself as interconnected. Just like whoop, 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 boom. And then it maintains and you can speak and then you lose it, no big surprise, and then you learn how to re-recognize. And so it's very helpful during the day. So if you have a kind of a sitting practice, eyes closed, you can kind of do that. But this is kind of a learning that you can use as an adjunct that you can do during the day. You just sit there. It can be done with eyes open or eyes closed. And you learn how to unhook and drop. You learn how to open awareness to notice the awareness that's already aware. That awareness is aware both outside and inside. And it's also like you've dropped from head to heart. And there's kind of an interconnected, open-hearted feeling of being available, spontaneous, creative, and related without a lot of the self-referential fear that's going to the past and looking for worst-case scenarios in the future. All that, you've dropped out of the little mini-me into this sense of mind that's called nature of mind, that's spacious and open, open-mindedness. And then you've also feel more embodied, dropped into your body. And then you're in kind of your heart mind. You're able to feel first the connection to other people and then followed by seeing a difference. Anyone have a feeling of having had that experience in some part of your life? I think most people have had it for moments. And in fact, probably the moments that you've loved the most in your life and the things sometimes you almost try to do, go on a vacation, go into nature, be with certain friends, is to step out of that little small self-referencing sense of self. And that's kind of the first movement of awakening. It's awakening from that small patterning of self-referencing self. The key here is that we're not just stepping out into the gap of no thing or not knowing. We're going to discover Let's step out of this operating system of thought-based self-referencing and step right into the awareness-based, embodied, interconnected, new heart-mind and get familiarized with that. So that the fear of nothing, the fear of letting go, you let go right into the solution, right? You resource with the source. So then when you discover the source or the nature of mind as awake already, which is the premise that most contemplatives describe, that that's important as kind of a first premise, that the, that which you're looking for is already here. The awakeness, the Buddha nature, your true nature, this open-hearted awareness is not something that's created or developed. It's actually already who you are, and it's equally available to each of us, as each of us, now. And so it's a matter of the obscurating patterns that are just the normal way of orienting identity and living in the world that just have to be, the knots are untied, and then the awareness discovers itself as already alert and awake, not referencing thought, not looking from thought, not looking to thought, and yet thoughts available if needed any moment. Just like you can move your hand, you can use your hand to pick something up, you could use thought, but when you're not using your hand, you can let it rest. When you're not using thought, you can have peace of mind. And the peace of mind isn't just the concentration, shamatha, stillness, calming of the first small mind. It's actually the peace of an open, interconnected flow of ability to operate and speak and live at a higher level, at a wisdom level, at a interconnected level without the suffering, the fear, the worry, the projection. Yeah? Does that sound pretty good? So that's kind of the view. That's the possibility, right? That's the report from the wise gals and wise guys, you know, who have done this discovery, and then they've kind of reported back. So that's the report. This is possible. And I see it now in our culture and in people I meet more and more. I'm seeing that awakening in some ways is the next natural stage of human development. That it's possible for somebody in the midst of your life to have these glimpses and then to more and more shift from operating system number one, thought-based self-referencing, to operating system number two, awake heart, mind, interconnected, flow, wisdom, mind. And then to learn, you know, you keep bouncing back to the first one and you keep training to remain. And then it just, over time, like any habit, you break the old habit and you discover, and interestingly, the Tibetan word for meditations all often translated as familiarize. So you kind of recognize this awareness and then you just familiarize with it as yourself. Yeah? So that's about all I'm going to say. Then, now that's like the hypothesis. And so now we'll do the experiments. And so to do these little experiments, these little glimpses, I'm going to kind of point them out and let you guys do them for. And then at some point, I'm going to ask you when you're shifted into this to speak a word or a sentence or two from what's here. It's twofold. Other people hear what you're experiencing, and maybe more importantly, you're speaking from this non-thought-based intelligence, and yet you're using speech, so you're actually rewiring your brain to speak from your awake consciousness by just saying a word or two. Because now you're just saying, well, it's like this. And you're not going to thought to think about what you're going to say. So you're in this kind of flow, you're speaking from this flow, and it's a kind of a unique way of supporting your own awakening and stabilizing of that. So let's start with one where we actually, in some ways, the main obscuration is what's been called this, you know, why Buddha used the word anatta, the sense of self. But the sense of self isn't your personality. You don't have to get rid of who you are, what you like, your interests, your sense of humor, whether you like Chinese food or you don't, whether, you know, like all that's fine. That's not the self. The self we're going to look at that is the one that lets go is just this self-referencing pattern that creates like a mini-me in your head that co-opts the defense programs of your body and thinks it's you and it's got to protect itself and it's got to get something in the future and it's got to satisfy itself the way your body satisfies itself, but there's nothing for it to eat and there's nothing, no threat to it because it's made of thought. But it just keeps going like, well, but I got to get that. And someday if I do that, then I'll be okay. And then what about that? And, you know, it piggybacks on any other little thing that you get and it tries to satisfy itself. When it relaxes, you'll see the natural sense of who you are is already free and already here. You may in your own way, yeah? So we'll start with just this simple inquiry that I'll just say, and then you ask yourself, and then I'll just ask you to look with awareness. So just ask yourself this, because this little mini-me is creating its own problem on the level of identity and trying to solve that problem. And so when the problem solver relaxes on the level of identity, it's not about problems in the world or no problems in the world. There's always stuff happening. But on the level of identity, if the problem solving self-looping can relax, you will be here. So just ask yourself this. What's here now if there's no problem to solve? Okay, so just understand that question as a sentence and then ask yourself and then look with awareness and let go of the problems. What's here? What's aware? What's this like when there's nothing to do, nothing to get rid of, when there's no problem to solve? Who's here? What's here? What's this awareness like? And there's no problem to solve. So what's absent? What's the quality of location? And what's the presence? What's awareness like when it's not going to thought and not going to sleep? What do you notice? What would you say if you said a word or a phrase or a quality out loud?
Energy.
Energy, yeah. So there's an energy in your body, right? That's the content. And what's the awareness like that you're aware from?
Expansive.
Expansive. Anyone else feel the expansiveness or boundless or open quality? Yeah? What else? What's here? What's the awareness like? Yeah. Presence. Yeah. Some kind of presence. What else do you notice?
Peaceful.
Anyone else notice the peaceful?
Quiet.
Peaceful. Less chattering, less monkey mind.
Stillness.
So stillness is kind of a here, ooh, quality.
Oneness.
Some kind of unity. Oneness. Yeah, anyone feel that? And you don't look to thought to orient. And just let the awareness feel everything. What's that like? What shows up?
Freedom.
Something in the background, like movement or... Yeah, so it's almost like you're, in some ways, this is a foreground-background shift. So rather than being the monkey mind, looking for stillness, you rest the problem solver, and then you are the stillness, the peace, the awareness, and now all the movement of thoughts, feelings, and sensations are here in the background. But in the foreground, what is aware, not what are you aware of, which is usually the first way we look for mindfulness, is are you aware of your breath, of your thought, of your body? Now we're saying, all right, but what is aware of thought? Right? So consciousness, and what does that feel like? What's its nothing? Is it located anywhere particularly? Is it definitely here? No. Seems to be everywhere. The feeling is it's kind of everywhere, and yet, do you notice anything about it? How does your body feel? Where are you feeling your body from when you don't go to thought? What does your body feel like? Timeless, yeah. Spacious. And what? In the moment. Yeah, just in the now, right? In the now. And do you feel almost like you're aware of your body from within your body? Almost like you're aware of your knee from your knee, you're aware of your belly from your belly. You're not aware from here, down to here. But it's almost like when you drop the problem solver and you feel... what's here, you feel like awareness is spacious and also not just spacey, but anyone feel that kind of embodiment feeling of effervescent aliveness? Yeah. So you're not setting up a looker, but you've dropped into what's happening. Yeah. When there are or aren't. Yeah. So this is a question not about everyday problems. This is about the problem solver who's piggybacking and making more problems about any problems. So we're just getting rid of that secondary problem solver so that we can solve the everyday problems just by showing up with a more flowing, responsive rather than reactive way. So the question was, yeah, what if there are more problems, right? So this is not about, you know, denial or some sense that, you know, let's pretend there's no problems. This is about the problem of identity that creates a problem solver that tries to make problems even when there's a moment of peace and it goes, oh, well, there could be other problems though. Like, that's a problem, too much peace. That could be dangerous. I'm going to get bored by peace, you know. No, that's not good. So it can't accept it. So it's almost the dropping and opening out of that manager, that commentator. That's all we're doing. And feeling what the other potential of peace of mind, what does that feel like? Yeah? Anyone else notice anything?
Sensation.
Sensation, yeah. Yeah, that's right. So the kind of the stillness and sensation like three whole body ohms. So you actually dropping out of the looking at your body like it's a distant object and you drop in. Meanwhile, you're also expansive. And meanwhile, there's also some kind of oneness or interconnectedness. And there's a non-fear and a non-worry and a non-shame. And yet you could... respond if you needed to, like a Tai Chi master, in a moment. Because you're not in your mental worry about what could be happening, which takes you half second behind what is happening. You're here. You're just here. You're in the now. Responsive. Alert. Free of worry. Embodied. Yeah. Yeah, so you feel a surrender into open-heartedness? That's what it feels like? Yes, that's right. And that's kind of like where we're going. That's its natural way that it constitutes into the new operating system is it's what I call open-hearted awareness or heart-mind, but that's the place that it actually connects to everyday reality and to this awake functioning, this freedom, and this is this kind of open-hearted, you know, almost trust and love. And so rather than in deliberate mindfulness, and when you start mindfulness, you often do deliberate one-pointed concentration, you do deliberate loving kindness, you intentionally try to create a state of loving kindness. With this, you drop out of any state, and when you come into your body, you discover your nature has a feeling of compassion and loving kindness and acceptance without trying to be accepting. Like that's when you get out of the battle of trying to be accepting, not being accepting, trying to be more accepting, trying to be more loving. What's wrong? How come they don't love me? You know, maybe I should love them. Well, no, that's too much. Now I got to get some love. You drop out of the whole thing and come in here, and then you're like, all right, I see what's going on. This is already not dualistic. This isn't that. This isn't about that. Yeah? Ah. Yeah? Yeah, so it's just that letting go. It's just letting go of any holding and into the right? Yeah, so let's do a couple other little shifts of this. So here's one that is interesting in that, so this is about living an open-hearted life, living an awake life. So in order to do that, you know, you can do your closed eye meditations in the morning and the evening, but you in order to live awake, your eyes have to be open. Yeah? So you have to, and the eyes are connected to 40% of the brain's function. And they tend to be very connected to looking for danger and safety. So they're scanning, looking at everything. And so we almost have to return our eyes to the natural state of serving this kind of awareness-based way of being. So what we're going to do is we're going to use our eyes and as a way to return to receiving, because you know we know that our ears are receptive, right? So sound travels in sound waves, and so hearing is receiving, right? On a physical level, does that make sense? That's what experience. But we think that our eyes, because they're connected to our small, separate sense of self, we almost think of, if I said, okay, look at that. Okay, look at that. It's almost like our eyes are like our hands. Oh, look at that. Oh, where? Over there? Yeah, look at that, over there. Like that. But our eyes are exactly like our ears. Light reflects off of objects and comes to your retina. Seeing is receiving. You can rest back and you're just as safe because of the fact that light travels at the speed of light. So you can't get any quicker, like trying to look, watch out, what's over there? You just stay. So what does it feel like to just start by letting your eyes, your ears receive, and your eyes, so just rest back into the awareness behind your back. So awareness has your back. Awareness is in your heart. Your eyes are whoop, open. And then we're going to We're going to open this point of view up into this more spacious feeling of observing in this flow state by just starting with opening our peripheral vision, which is also often when it's in danger mode, it's in pinpointedness, right? It's looking in one point. So when you're in this open view and you're looking up, it's telling your brain you're safe. And we can allow awareness to kind of open toward itself all around 360 degrees. So we get this feeling of panoramic awareness. And then from that awareness, you'll notice that you're also fully embodied and home. So it's a way of kind of, again, doing a mindful move to discover this other nature of mind. So just simply kind of looking straight ahead or a little up, just eyes soft, receiving light, and then just gently, without strain, allow awareness to move to the sides. So opening your peripheral vision, you're not moving your eyes at all. Your eyes already see over here. It's just your brain is making them go forward. So you're just opening awareness to each side. And as you do, take a nice breath and smile, cool air. And then as awareness opens to your full peripheral vision, let awareness unhook from seeing and let awareness be aware of the space in which sound is coming and going on the side of your head. And again, breathe and smile and then just allow awareness to continue around to be aware of the space behind your body in which sound is coming and going. So there's kind of a feeling of opening your view, right? To a panoramic 360-degree view. So you're aware of spacious awareness all around. And then just make another shift. So you're asking, am I aware of this spacious awareness? Or what is it like if I'm aware from this spacious awareness back to include thoughts, feelings, and sensations? So it's almost like you open, discover this awareness, and then as this awareness, you feel very much in your heart and in your body and interconnected with everyone in front and behind. So mainly what we've done is we've kind of opened this self-referencing sense of self, and then from this openness, feel this new view that's embodied and in this kind of flow. It's if you like driving, it's actually where you drive from. To drive well, you have to have panoramic awareness. You can't have. So it's like a flow. So what do you notice when you're open to the awareness, aware from the spacious awareness, and then include as if awareness that's already aware is within you and interconnected with everyone else? What's that feel like when you're no longer looking from this mini-me? Feet flat on the floor. Fully grounded in the current reality. Awake, my body, my seat. Yeah. Connected to the earth. While being the backdrop of the sky. So what else do you notice? Just simple observation. Anyone? Feeling the space. Filling the space, yeah. And the space is filling you, right? Yeah. So there's another dimension of mindfulness. And do you notice how you can almost be effortlessly mindful of anything without concentrating? Because you're not looking from your moving mind. You're looking from your nature of mind, your spacious mind. So you can focus effortlessly if you're looking from the spacious mind. You can literally focus for 3 hours without moving because you're effortlessly aware. And the only reason you lose awareness when you're looking at your breath is because you're trying to focus from a mind that's moving. And now we're in this mindfulness from awake, aware, embodied mind. Yeah? What else do you notice? Feel peace of mind, less. If you were to ask yourself this question, I wonder what the next thought will be. Just curious. What's here? Do you need thought to be aware and alert? Do you need to reference thought? Your mind, your nature of mind is prior to thought and post-thought. That's what this awake mind is like. Yeah? Anyone find a thought? I wonder what the next thought will be. What do you find? What comes into insight? What insight do you have?
Don't
need to have a thought to be wise, to be alert, to be mindful and responsive, and even to talk, right? Yeah? Anyone else notice that? Yeah. Yeah, so first the vividness, and then the vividness knows it's vivid, and then you can also think about the vividness. Oh, I'm noticing that I'm vivid. And that's a thought about the vivid, which makes it a past experience. So as soon as you go back to the mind, but from the vividness, you can be, there's a not knowing that knows. In other words, it's a non-conceptual knowing that knows it's vivid. And you could stay in the vividness and say, oh, yes, there's a vividness. So it's not the words or the language that takes you out of vividness. It's the going back to conceptual mind for a second opinion about whether you know or you don't know, whether you doubt or you don't doubt. If you go back and get on the train of thought, then that's the train you're located on. From this openness, you can be mindful. Anyone else want to say what? No, just noticing about the mindful, a certain kind of effortless mindfulness. Yeah. What's that? What is it?
Vacation,
exactly. This is why people take vacations, to get to this. And you can learn to do this 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Here, because it's here, and it's just tuning in. It's just discovering, uncovering, shifting in a certain way of doing mindfulness and insight meditation that takes you into doing it from effortlessly already awake, aware mind. And that's the peace of mind or the vacation or the... Some people say, well, this is how I feel after 5 minutes, after 5 days of a retreat. You can feel the same way because your body will respond to the non-referencing, the non-worry, the non-fear. And it innocently will just relax, like you've just taken a sauna, got a massage, went on vacation, did a 5-day retreat. But it's the natural, radical happiness, which is awakeness, the relief of suffering, and the discovery of these qualities of gratitude, loving kindness that are naturally available. Yes? Oh, hi. Do you have a, yeah?
It feels like an inquiry.
Yes.
Rather than something fixed.
Yes. And some.
It gives the mind freedom to want to wonder.
Yes.
And focusing, fixating.
That's right. So you could say that in some ways, rather than, you know, the initial method being one of fixing the current mind on something and trying to calm it by watching the breath, you're turning awareness to itself. And so it is like a, rather than a resting method, it's a looking method or an inquiry. It starts with an inquiry until it discovers the natural, effortless mindfulness.
Feels like wonder,
yeah. Yeah, it's the natural wonder. It's the natural true nature that is, you know, the greatest gift that we have as human beings. And the amazing thing is that it literally is already here and available, but it's been paradoxical in terms of how we discover it. And a lot of the methods have been methods that have been done in monastic cultures, that they start with taking away things that cause distraction, and then they do long periods of sitting. But many people who then, after long, would discover, well, this which I found was here, you know, when I was 8 years old, I knew this. So why can't we, you know, start by recognizing and then realizing and then familiarizing ourselves with this? So this is the kind of a different road to the same place that other types of mindfulness and insight go. And they all are of the same tradition, but this is kind of a direct path, immediate recognition, small glimpse, then you lose it. You know, you go back to the other mind, but you really discover, you kind of fall in love with the peace of mind. You fall in love with yourself. You discover something deeper than fear and shame and unworthiness. And then you go like, oh my God, if this is what I've been looking for, it's already here. So let me keep returning home. And you can just return home. And then when you lose it, you realize, oh, I'm caught and I'm back in the other operating system. And then you just, you know, you don't judge yourself for losing it. You just learn to return, train to remain, and then you familiarize. And then it starts to work on you, just like other meditation starts to have effects right away, even though you're still getting caught and feeling identified. There's still, like, you're permeated by your brain has been getting soothed by, and your heart is soothed, and your emotions know somehow that everything's okay.